Jesus began speaking in the synagogue, saying, "Today this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke highly of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They also asked, "Isn't this the son of Joseph?" He said to them, "Surely you will quote me this proverb, 'Physician, cure yourself,' and say, 'Do here in your native place the things that we heard were done in Capernaum.' And he said to you, 'Amen, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own native place. Indeed, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah when the sky was closed for 3.5 years and a severe famine spread over the entire land. It was to none of these that Elijah was sent, but only to a widow in Zarephath in the land of Sidon. Again, there were many lepers in Israel during the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." When the people in the synagogue heard this, they were filled with fury. They rose up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town had been built, to hurl him down headlong. But Jesus passed through the midst of them and went away. The Gospel of the Lord. My friend here, for anybody wondering, is Father John Parks. He is the vicar for evangelization in the Diocese of Phoenix. So, first of all, if you have any comments about Catholic schools, feel free to corner him after Mass and tell him all about it. He's also like a world-class speaker that you can see on YouTube and whatnot, and so I asked him if he wanted to preach today, and he told me no. And when I was telling him about my homily last night, we talk a lot about what we're going to preach on Sunday, and so I told him about what I wanted to preach, and after, I don't know, like 7 minutes of rambling, there's a pause on the other end of the line, and he says, "So what are you trying to tell him?" And it was a frightening moment. So, because number one, I want what I have to say to be clear, and number two, I don't want to embarrass myself in front of Father Parks. I'm actually going to try to keep this homily really simple. So what we see happening is Jesus, very much at the beginning of his public ministry. I'm just kidding. Don't complain to Father Parks. But Jesus, the very much of his public ministry, is standing up in the synagogue, and he's reading from Isaiah. And the reading today picks up where it left off last week. And I think what was said last week really matters for what I want to say today, because today's gospel begins by saying that today this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing. In other words, he's saying all the prophecy that we just heard, at this moment it's being fulfilled. In other words, as I stand here in your presence speaking, this prophecy is being fulfilled. I want to just remind ourselves what that prophecy was. This is what we heard last Sunday. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." So the prophet here is speaking about the Lord essentially coming and doing good things. He's come to proclaim good news to the poor, liberty to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to let the oppressed go free. The Lord is coming to do new things. If we are blind, he's coming to make us see. If we are in bondage, he's coming to set us free. He's come to do something new and to proclaim this good news. Jesus, reading this scripture in the synagogue, tells the people, this scripture today is fulfilled in your hearing. That as I stand here before you, and as I read these scriptures and preach to you, this scripture is fulfilled. The reason he can say that is because Jesus is the one who sets us free from bondage. Jesus is the one that gives sight to the blind. When we are blind and no longer able to see the truth, Jesus can heal that. Jesus, when we're in darkness and cannot see where the Lord is present in our life, Jesus can heal that. When we're in bondage, in slavery to sin or to some sort of addiction or to some lies that we believed about ourselves at some point in our life, Jesus can set us free from that bondage. That is the good news that he proclaims in the synagogue. That's why I think it's really significant what happens after he proclaims this good news of the scripture being fulfilled in their hearing. The people at first, and we can only assume that they're, you know, it says that they were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. So that sounds good. It sounds like they liked his preaching. But then they immediately set to asking themselves, isn't this the son of Joseph? And this is where Jesus basically prophesies, look, prophets are not honored in their native place. That's why Elijah did these works outside of Israel. Elisha did these works outside of Israel. Essentially saying, this is my native place and you're not going to believe me because you think you know what this is all about. And then as if to prove him right, they got angry and tried to kill him. But when they asked, is this not the son of Joseph? What they're essentially saying is, how can this man stand here and tell us something new is going to happen? We know him. We know where he's from. We know what we can expect from him. How can this man here tell us that in our hearing is fulfilled the scripture saying that we'll be set free from bondage, that our blindness will be healed and we'll be given sight? Jesus is proclaiming that he's doing something new, but the people can't expect, or they can't accept that something new could come from Jesus because they think they know who he is. They think they know where he's coming from. They think they know what they can expect from him. Now, brothers and sisters, I would say this is true so often, too often for us in our faith, in our practice of the Catholic faith, in our believing in the gospel. We can stop, or maybe we never even start believing that Jesus can do something new because we think we know what this is already about. And what we can do is we can sort of smother the gospel in religiosity without actually expecting that Jesus is going to change anything in me or in my life. And we can do this in a whole number of ways. For instance, I can imagine we can turn our faith into a source of self-affirmation. Or we can turn our faith into a festival of feel-good, right? And Jesus loves you, and we'll celebrate your person. And each of us is special and unique, and God loves us, and everything is A-okay. Or on another end of the spectrum, we can totally moralize the gospel. And we can say, because of Jesus dying for our sins, you better get your act together because judgment is coming. And we need to be more faithful servants of the Lord, and we need to obey God's law, and we need to repent of our sins and receive forgiveness. And you know what? And to some extent, both of these things are true, and they both like factor into our faith and what it means to be a Christian. But what neither of these approaches takes account of is the fact that Jesus is alive and is present in my life and that he can take away my sins. He can make me free. He can turn me into a saint. He can remove in my heart the things that prevent me from receiving his love. He can deepen my faith by giving me a greater outpouring of that gift. He can enliven my heart. He can set my heart on fire with love for him. He can actually change my life. But even if we're practicing Catholics, even if we're here every Sunday and we pray our rosary and all these things, it sometimes is jarring and even scandalous for somebody to step into our lives and say, Jesus can change you if you want him to. Whatever it is you're struggling with or dealing with or afraid of or being afflicted by, Jesus can change this situation. He can change you if you want him to, and he can do it today. When was the last time you actually expected Jesus to do something in your life? When was the last time you expected to encounter God living in your day-to-day life? And this can be a scandal to us. But we need to remember that that's what the gospel is actually proclaiming. Jesus comes to proclaim good news a year of favor from the Lord, liberty to captives, sight to the blind. And what's more, brothers and sisters, the gospel is never just for us. We are called to preach this good news to the world. And strange as it may sound, when you preach the good news of Jesus, people get incredibly uncomfortable. And when I talk about how we can sort of bury our faith in religiosity, it's also the case that we can talk about vaguely religious-y things to people and everything's fine. But you start talking to them about Jesus and what Jesus wants to do in their life, and things get very uncomfortable. Sometimes things get angry. Sometimes this is going to lead to your persecution. And that's where I think this first reading from Jeremiah can be really helpful for us, because the Lord is essentially preparing for Jeremiah for the fact that he's going to have to do an uncomfortable work of proclaiming the gospel, and it's going to bring him suffering. But the Lord tells Jeremiah that he's not going to abandon him. He's not going to leave him alone. That as he speaks forth everything that God tells him to speak, God himself is going to be with him and sustain him. And so I said at the beginning of this homily, I was going to keep it very simple. I'm not sure I accomplished that, but to revisit it simply, Jesus is living, and he's alive in our lives, and he wants to do things in our life. He wants to free us. He wants to heal us. He wants to change us. He's not dead in the past. He doesn't live in the future. He's alive to us right now, and we can't be scandalized by that fact. We have to try to let him encounter us living, and we need to proclaim the living Jesus to the world today, and know that when it's difficult, when it's uncomfortable, maybe even when it's dangerous, know that we are not alone, that God is with us, sustaining us as we proclaim this gospel, this good news.